Thank you, and welcome everyone to this kickoff to our webcast series on DevOps, where we're going to be focusing on IBM's DevOps solutions and their particular relevance to our clients with business solutions that run on System Z. Now, as you can see on this slide, we will have five webcasts in this series. In this first one, Mike Pereira and I will provide an overview of DevOps, you know, why we think it's important, and the solutions that we provide, with particular emphasis on those areas that represent unique challenges but also opportunities for our System Z clients. And Carmen Diardo from Nationwide will lend a customer's perspective on what they're doing. Then, over the next month and a half, we're going to have four more webcasts, each one drilling down into each of the entry points within DevOps, those being continuous business planning, collaborative development, continuous testing, and continuous release and deployment. Now, as you can see here, these webcasts are going to feature experts in these various areas from across the software group brands. So while Mike and Carmen and I are going to talk about these entry points, we're just going to be scratching the surface today. So we hope that you'll sign up for and attend these subsequent deep dive webcasts, as well as listening and participating today. Now, on the agenda, it's really quite simple. We're going to explain why we believe DevOps is important. Then we're going to present our marketecture solution, if you will, meaning we're going to provide a sort of a visual representation of the various components and entry points in the DevOps solution, you know, things where you can get started, come into the DevOps maturity model as most appropriate within your enterprise. And there are many different entry points. And then we'll briefly describe each of those, and especially focusing on the relevance to multi-platform systems where some portion, if not all, of the system is running on the mainframe. And then Carmen is going to explain what they're doing and what they plan to do around DevOps at Nationwide. And then if all goes well and we're not too talkative, we'll have time for a Q&A. So with that, I will now turn it over to Mike to explain why we care and why we think you should care about DevOps. So Mike, over to you.
Great. Thanks, Hayden. So what I'd first like to talk about is a couple of shifts that we've seen in the market. One is a relatively recent phenomenon, and one has been more of an evolutionary shift over a number of years. So if we start out with the slide titled New Era Systems Integrate Existing Systems of Record with New Client-Facing Systems Engagement, this is a more recent phenomenon, right? And this is a phenomenon that we've seen brought on by the advent of social media, brought on by mobile applications, which have much shorter life cycles. And this is really a tale of two cities, if you would. So the first being our traditional systems of record, which particularly within System Z, we all know and love, whether those are, you know, DB2 or IMS or Kix or your favorite COBOL application. But it's really the more traditional IT environment. It's a more traditional setup, more traditional operational view of the world, and, you know, more traditional applications which may have life cycles that are measured in, you know, decades rather than in minutes or hours or days. On the flip side, we've got systems of engagement, right? And this is really more about, again, these social applications, mobile applications, applications which may not have a very long life cycle, but they tend to be very engaging. They are the interface to end consumers or business users, and the data that they're looking for and the experience that they have is very, very different from that of the classic systems of record. So, you know, what this is doing is it's merging two different worlds, right? And as a result, it presents challenges as to how do you develop applications in this world of differences. So as we move on to the next slide then, this is a shift that's really been more evolutionary over a number of years. So, you know, we started out way back when on System Z with a pretty simple interface and a pretty simple process flow that started out with a 3270 terminal. It would hit the transaction server, or the transaction monitor of choice, and that would log and create some system of work, and that was it. But over time, the complexity has increased dramatically. Right, so we've added multiple channels. We've now got multiple systems. We've now got multiple sources of business logic and applications. We've now got multiple up and downstream process implications. We still have, you know, a significant amount of batch, although that's been becoming less and less over time, but it hasn't become less and less and been replaced by nothing. Instead, it's become less and less and been replaced by more OLTP type workloads that's got more near real-time needs or real-time needs. And all of this, you know, being said, it's put a tremendous amount of strain on IT because it's a question of, you know, how do you deal with this complexity and do things more efficiently while delivering things faster and continuing to maintain, if not increase, the amount of resiliency and availability in your system. So then let's shift now to a little bit of research that we've done within IBM. And this is a study that's available online, so I encourage you to just Google the Software Edge and IBM Institute of Business Value if you're interested in the full report. But this is a research study that we did consisting of 435 business and IT executives across 18 industries, 58 countries around the world. And what it showed us was that more than half of those companies and those executives believe that software delivery is critical. It's critical for their own differentiation of the product and the services that they offer as a company. Forget about the IT aspect itself. But what we found was that only a quarter found that they were actually using software delivery effectively. Of that quarter, almost three-quarters of those who were using software delivery effectively outperform their competitors, right? And we measure that strictly based on profitability. So a very simple business metric, but one that between software delivery and the ultimate business outcome. Now, as we went through this, you know, not surprisingly, there were more companies and more industries that were heavily related to software, you know, the more important software delivery became. So, you know, as you'd suspect, financial services, retail, telecom, travel and transportation, pharmaceuticals, and public sector, you know, there was a pretty heavy skew there. But, you know, across all of those, again, this outperform number held true. So, you know, what that says is for clients who have a huge dependence on software, of which, you know, many of our industries do today, the ones who are able to react faster, more effectively, based on customer reaction, based on input in the market, based on changes that are happening, not surprisingly, end up delivering better business results. So now let's move to the next page. And this is really the big picture challenge as we see it today. So you have this basic construct of the universe that you start out with customers. Customers are satisfied by business owners. You've got development and test to help supply the business owners their goods. And you've got the operations and productions team who are constantly trying to maintain the systems and deliver them. And there's a fair amount of conflict, if you would, between these, right? Because a customer wants to get as much as they can for the least amount of money. A business owner wants to get the most amount of money that they can while paying the least amount in expense to develop that good. You've got development and test who are always striving to do more and deliver more based on the resources that they've got. But then you've got operations and production that are always striving to maintain stability, and getting the latest and greatest from up the chain is not necessarily the first and foremost priority. What also happens across this chain is you've got communication breakdown that typically happens, right? And as a result, you know, what the customer wants to what the business owner perceives to what the development or and test organizations are asked to do, and then ultimately operations and production asked to deliver and maintain, can be fairly different, right? And a lot of that goes back to our standard way of doing things in IT. And myself as a software development executive, you know, I face these challenges on a day-to-day basis, right? Because, you know, as we develop CICS, you know, we've got a very similar chain here. And ultimately, obviously, we're trying to do everything we can to thrill our clients. So, you know, part of taking on this challenge is thinking about things differently and thinking about things in a way that you can start doing some of these things more dynamically, right? So it's not so slow. So it's not so manual and error prone. So you don't have as much risk as you're going to the latest and greatest version of whatever the software you are delivering, right? And ultimately, you see on the bottom there, you know, there's no shortage of examples in the news publicly where, you know, software glitches have cost clients millions and millions and millions of dollars, right? Whether it's the first example where, you know, $440 million in 45 minutes, that $440 million, by the way, was actually more than 2x that company's prior quarter revenue, right? So they made less than $220 million the prior quarter in straight revenue, and more than 2x of that was gone in 45 minutes. You see the example of a telecom service provider who they were mistakenly charging their clients when they thought that they had gone over their data limits, but in actuality they hadn't. And then, you know, the last example of a bank who ended up being shut down for multiple days because of bad software upgrade. So I think these are all certainly hit close to home for me, and I'd imagine for many of you on the phone as well. So now let's move on to the next page and talk about the approach that we call DevOps. And really, this is about applying an agile and lean development methodologies, but doing it across the entire lifecycle. So starting and looking at DevOps from idea creation, the inception of what you want to do, all the way through the development and ultimately the deployment, and ensuring that you've got a closed loop cycle throughout. Right, so that means getting continuous feedback. It means getting that feedback sooner in the process. It means more quickly and effectively taking action based on that feedback. And again, if I use, you know, myself as an example, we just recently announced a mobile feature pack for CICS. And that, from start to finish, from the start of the idea to the time it was designed, to the time it was developed, to the time it was tested, to the time it was delivered, was only a few months. And if you think about a product the size of CICS, that's a pretty awesome achievement and one that we wouldn't have been able to do if we didn't take this DevOps approach internally. So now let me cover the last slide before handing it over to Hayden around the DevOps solution. And this is really our marketecture, if you would, that kind of lays out in simplistic terms how we're viewing this, the life cycle of DevOps from start to finish. Right, so what you see in the middle in the green, again, are the entry points that Hayden's going to go to in more detail now. You've got plan and measure, develop and test, release and deploy, and monitor and optimize. You know, one thing I think is important to call out here is these are all built on open standards, right? Whether it's JAS and OSLC. So, you know, what that means is if you have existing infrastructure in place, you know, tools in place, this is not a rip and replace recommendation from IBM to get more IBM content, right? This is really about leveraging what you've got, leveraging the investment you've made. If you have, you know, other tools and practices that you want to plug into this, assuming they're also based on the open standards, you can. You can continue to, you know, build on the return on your investment versus starting from scratch. I think the one last thing before I turn it over to Hayden that's important to highlight here is, you know, we're also taking a multi-platform approach to this, right? So gone are the days where, you know, companies only have a single platform that makes up their entire infrastructure, right? And gone are the days where you can just develop applications for internal purposes without taking into consideration your partners, taking into consideration a private cloud or a public cloud, taking into consideration the multi-channels that are going to be accessing it. So, you know, critical to whatever you end up doing in the future is take into account a multi-platform perspective as you're thinking about how do you become more efficient and how do you ultimately develop, deliver, and support things more effectively and more efficiently. So, Hayden, with that, let me turn it over to you to jump into the details.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. So as Mike explained, you know, we believe there's substantial need for what we in the industry call DevOps. You know, software is critically important, and we need to be able to deliver it from conception through to delivery into production more rapidly turn things around more quickly, respond to feedback more quickly. And, as Mike was just mentioning, we believe that what we offer really is more broad and more open than what others would tend to offer, because we span all the technologies across the life cycle, and very importantly, all the platforms that our clients require. However, you know, when we get out and work with clients, you know, we've observed quite a few gaps, as you see on slide 10, between our vision of how a mature DevOps company would operate and, you know, the way that the vast majority of companies operate today. And by the way, you could throw IBM into that group as well. So we have an ideal of what it should be. We have a maturity model and so forth, and quite frankly, no one is, you know, mature in every single dimension. But the key is to work towards that and improve things. But if you're not really very mature in any of them, this is going to negatively impact the responsiveness of the business as a whole because of the critical element software plays. Now, these gaps that you see can be thought of as existing between the various roles within the business. So, for example, you know, the gap between customers and business owners could be how quickly are you responding to feedback from your clients, okay? Or between the business owners and, you know, the dev and test organization, are all the dev activities that are in flight actually tied to what the business thinks are the highest priorities? Or is development and test actually delivering as quickly as the business would like? And then, you know, the last gap there between dev, test, and operations, which is, by the way, where the DevOps term originated and where the movement originated, you know, gaps exist in the speed of provisioning, you know, test or production environments, or there are quality issues and repeatability issues with deployments and so forth. So there are many opportunities for improvement here. Now, you're going to notice that there are 9 specific areas that we identify for focus here, but only 8 are shown in yellow. Mike and I will cover those 8 at a high level. And then the other one, which deals with improving responsiveness to customer feedback, you know, it's vitally important, but we're not going to cover it in this webcast simply because there's nothing here particularly unique to System Z clients. But of course, having mechanisms for capturing client feedback and then folding it into the planning process or activities, obviously critically important. But now let's jump down into the various entry points. So the first one is around continuous business planning. Now, our view of DevOps, as you saw in the architecture slide, encompasses the entire development, deployment, and operations lifecycle. However, being more agile and lean and efficient is not very useful if you're doing the wrong things, and wrong as defined by the business. So that's why continuous business planning is so crucial, because everyone is always fully booked, so it's imperative that you spend time and money doing only those things that are most important and not wasting time on things that are less so. Now, there are 3 aspects that I'm going to talk about to help ensure that you're doing the right things for the business. And so the first is to make the right decision. And in order to do that, you need all stakeholders, line of business, development, and operations, to agree on what the highest priority business needs are and then how those projects should be resourced. So if you put something new on the plate, you know, a new request comes in and you decide to do it, then you need to take something off the plate, and that decision is made by everyone. And of course, making these decisions is not as simple as it might seem, because IT is always dealing with hundreds of requests at any one time. And so that's where Rational Focal Point plays a role. It is our collaboration platform for helping manage this complexity and helping make these trade-offs so that, you know, time and money is actually spent doing the things that are most important for the business. Now, the next important aspect is that the business plans need to be connected, you know, things that the business decides you're going to do, need to be connected to the reality of development. And so this is where what we call life cycle traceability comes in. Now, within Focal Point, you can group all related requests that are tied to a particular business initiative into something called a business release. And then leveraging the traceability we have in our CLM products, you can track development and test progress across the entire enterprise application, all different elements of it, but doing so through a business lens, or this thing called the business release. So, you know, if a stakeholder sees a project falling behind schedule, he or she can take corrective action, either, you know, reassigning the people to something that is now actually a higher priority business need, or, you know, rebalance resources to try to get the project back on track. But the key is to do it in the context of this thing called the business release, or within the context of business priority. And then, just like we just described for development progress, you need to link your plans to the reality of deployment. Now, some of you may know we recently acquired a company called Urban Code, and Mike will talk a bit more about their capabilities in a bit. But one of the features of the Urban Code release product is the ability to manage multi-application, multi-technology, and multi-platform releases. So an entire enterprise application with all its components spread all over creation. And so we call this thing within the release product an operational release. So you can create these operational releases by looking at the traceability links we have within our CLM products, and you start off from that business release in Focal Point, look into all the CLM components, and determine what needs to be deployed in an operational release. And then, once you've created this thing, you can link it to the business release in Focal Point, and then anyone using a Focal Point dashboard, just like they can check development status, they can check deployment status. So they can determine, you know, is this new business feature that we need, is it in user acceptance test or scalability test, or is it made it into production or what? So the message here is, you know, do proper business planning to make sure that you actually make the right decisions as far as all stakeholders are concerned, and then track progress from development through the various stages of deployment, but through the lens of the business. All right, now the next, it's not really the next, because any of these entry points are a perfectly valid place to get started in your DevOps maturity. But the next one that I'll speak about, we call collaborative development, or development and test, but first talk about development. Now, when you think about most modern enterprise systems, there are generally multiple components built with multiple technologies that will execute on multiple platforms. Now, to develop these types of applications most efficiently, your practitioner and team collaboration tools need to embrace this new reality and support all the different technologies and platforms needed. So first of all, let's look at, you know, what we need for developers. Now, the key to code development is to have multi-technology, multi-platform IDEs, which we have, and we've had for several years. And of course, all of our IDEs now include WorkLight Studio for creating, you know, the compelling and portable mobile apps that you need. But of course, we also support all the mid-tier technologies and the back-end technologies like COBOL and PL1 all together in a unified development environment. And of course, our support is not just for code creation. So for example, if you're doing, you know, a mobile application connected to a back-end, you know, COBOL transaction running on CICS, you can start your debugging with the mobile front-end, proceed through all the intermediate layers, all the way into the back-end COBOL transaction. That's what we're talking about as far as integrated end-to-end solution. Now, a couple other things I just wanted to mention. You know, since DevOps is about delivering new business capabilities more quickly, more reliably, you know, one of the best practices is extracting business rules from code and then managing and even executing them with a business rules management system like operational decision management or ODM. Okay? You know, changes can be made by business analysts without requiring code changes if you've extracted the rules. And so, you know, the business can make a decision on changing a rule or changing a policy, and the change can be put in place almost immediately without involving code development. So this just illustrates, it's one example, but it illustrates that, you know, best practices that we've discussed in the past are still totally relevant, you know, in a DevOps context. And then one other thing I want to mention, it's not the most flashy thing in the world, but we just released what we view as a revolutionary new version of our ZOS COBOL compiler, which uses the same back-end technology as we use for Java. And so with this, we exploit the latest compiler technology and mainframe hardware advances to deliver very significant performance improvements. All right, if we move on to another area around collaborative development, it has to do with how teams operate, because everyone involved in software development, especially in an enterprise context, work on teams. And so when managing plans or work items, builds, and so forth, it is most efficient to have a holistic, integrated environment that covers everything, all the artifacts, languages, platforms, and so forth. Now, unfortunately, in the industry, the norm is that one set of tools will be used for the distributed portions and a totally separate and disconnected set of tools will be used for the back ends. And this is just simply not good, because it relies on manual and time-consuming and error-prone coordination. Now, fortunately, we can do much better here because our JAS-based CLM solution provides a single unified approach for coordinating all activities across all technologies independent of where the code is going to run in production. So this eliminates a lot of this manual coordination, which will enable your teams to deliver more value and deliver that value more quickly. Now, of course, as you see at the bottom left of the slide, you know, our solution is an open one. And we leverage OSLC, as Mike mentioned, and it allows you to integrate third-party tools, some of which you see depicted here, open source tools, your own homegrown tools. The key is, you know, we deliver a lot of things, but we understand that it's a heterogeneous environment out there, and that's why our platform is open and allows for this integration. So anyway, you know, we've talked about multi-platform IDEs and our CLM solution for a few years, but key thing to note here is that these are every bit as relevant, you know, in a DevOps context as they ever were before. So now let's look at another entry point, continuous testing. Now, a central theme within DevOps is to automate anything that's done repeatedly or that's error-prone. And so, you know, clearly manual testing falls squarely in that camp. And we have Rational Test Workbench to automate all types of tests, including tests for multi-tier, multi-technology enterprise applications. And by the way, we just added support for doing test automation for native and hybrid mobile apps. Once you have these automated tests, you can trigger them to run whenever you get a valid build, doing it automatically in the background or at whatever frequency makes sense to you. So this is a prime example of another DevOps principle, which is eliminate waste. You know, it will speed up delivery and improve your quality because you're going to be able to test much more frequently. Now, if we look at the next slide, automated testing is great and it's a recognized best practice in the distributed arena. You know, but when it comes to the mainframe, frequent builds and automated testing, you know, are by no means the norm. And I think that's due in part to the mainframe's pay-per-use model. So drastically increasing the number of builds and tests could have some not-so-pleasant financial consequences. Now, luckily, we have the rational development and test environment that provides the SystemZ software stack for testing purposes, but it runs on Linux on commodity x86 hardware. So this eliminates the need to worry about development-related usage charges or impacts to your mainframe production capacity. So by using RDNT, your COBOL developers can build and test to their heart's content, leveraging this ZOS software stack on RDNT without, you know, incurring the ire of the system programmers or, for that matter, the CFO. All right, and then the next slide, one way to support the test early part of the test early, test often principle is to enable testing a portion of a system when other portions are either not yet ready or when testing those other portions might either take longer or it might have some associated costs. Again, in the mainframe context, you can think about this as ZMLC. And so for this, we provide our test virtualization server that allows you to simulate the behavior of these other portions, thus allowing you to do earlier testing, faster testing, and more cost-effective testing. So for example, you know, you could have mobile developers that could virtualize, you know, the COBOL backends and allow them to be testing without even having connectivity to the mainframe. And with the new virtualization support we delivered inside of CICS, COBOL developers could test only the transactions that they're changing without having to run the entire system. And of course, this will save time, but it also saves some money. All right, that concludes the sections that I'm covering. So now we'll hear from Mike for more of the DevOps entry points. Mike?
Great. Thanks, Hayden. So moving on to the next slide then, you know, a lot of times we think about provisioning and spend a lot of time and money focused on provisioning for production systems. But we don't necessarily look at how much time and effort and money does it take to set up, provision, maintain test systems. So, you know, what we'd like to call out to your attention here is, you know, just that fact, right? And we've got a number of products, and Hayden mentioned earlier Urban Code release. You know, we just, with the new release of the Business Class 12 hardware last week, we also announced support for Urban Code, both deploy and release on Z Linux. And really all the tools that you see here are aimed at provisioning test systems much more quickly with less error and allow you to build them up and take them down, just as importantly in some cases, as quickly as possible so that, you know, you are spending more time actually doing the testing rather than setting up the testing environment so that you can ultimately do the testing. So, you know, whether it's UDeploy, which has an automation deployment framework, whether it's Urban Code Release, as Hayden mentioned earlier, whether it's IBM Smart Cloud Orchestrator, which helps with virtualized and cloud environments, or even, you know, Kix Deployment Assistant that does something as, you know, relatively simple as quickly cloning Kix regions and also letting you destroy those regions afterwards. You know, there's certainly efficiencies to be gained by focusing on how do you set up and provision these test environments faster. So now let's go on to the next slide. And this is one that, to use Hayden's quote from earlier, not necessarily the sexiest thing in the world, but still very important in the broader DevOps context. And that's really around our traditional tools for problem determination, for application optimization and performance optimization. You know, so here we highlight just a few of them. Something that binds all of our Eclipse-based tools now is something called ZOS Explorer. So that gives you the ability to go from MQ to Kix to IMS within RDZ. Gives you a seamless experience instead of, you know, opening and closing various windows as you go. We still have the 3270 support as well. HSBC is a great example there where, you know, they believe that they improve their developer productivity by 10% by using these tools. I would point you to a white paper by the Branham Group, which really enumerates the benefits of, you know, these types of tools, going from weeks to hours for discovery and documentation of Kix topologies, 90% time savings on performance issues related to changes, 75% reduction in time to recover from major outages. You know, these are not soft savings, right? These are hard costs. And the quicker, again, you respond, right, the theme for this overall session, doing things more quickly, more agile, more responsive, certainly getting to the root cause and optimizing your systems for performance are two things that, you know, will ultimately save you money as well as help improve the overall customer experience. So with that, now let's transition to Carmen, who's coming to us from Nationwide, where Carmen is the Director of Build Capability Application Development Practices. He comes with multiple degrees, both in computer engineering as well as mathematics. In his current role, Carmen's responsible for improving IT development practices across a wide range of technologies. That includes J2EE and COBOL, and has been leading a COBOL modernization initiative utilizing the Rational Tool Suite. Carmen, let me hand it over to you.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about some of the exciting things we've been doing in the DevOps area. I'd like to start just to talk about the business needs. So if you look at our industry, and I'm sure many industries are the same way, there's more and more need for rapid changes based on what's happening in the marketplace. In our cases, changes in both financial and insurance products require that IT be able to keep up with that change and, in fact, facilitate the ability for business to be more agile in the sense that we not only must be able to embrace that change, but do it in a way that promotes productivity and higher quality of our delivery. So a lot of the things that Mike and Hayden have already talked about as far as DevOps capabilities, agile practices such as continuous integration, delivery, that helps ensure the high quality of the software that we're delivering. I'm going to get into that a little more detail starting with the next slide. So when we first looked at DevOps, we actually started off in the distributed side, and we implemented some of the techniques that we've talked about as far as continuous integration and continuous deployment. Now, while we're not deploying to production every day, we did come to find that the idea of deploying to a development environment that our development teams could own really created much higher productivity and quality for our teams. And in fact, we've derived and been able to measure significant benefits from using a DevOps approach in our distributed side. So that sort of begged the question, how can we start to apply this to our mainframe development? We have a large investment in mainframe systems. We will continue to have an investment, I would say, for several years. So how can we start to apply this in order to drive higher productivity, higher quality in our mainframe development? And it's sort of been alluded to some of the cross-platform development that we're doing now, where we have both a presentation front end and a mainframe back end, and we need to have them all running in a sense of an agile development cycle. Now, some of the challenges that we face looking at how to apply this to a mainframe was, first of all, we didn't have this key component of a development environment. So while our distributed teams had this capability where they could do continuous integration, deployment several times a day to this development environment that was completely under their control and that they could use in an agile way, as I'll discuss on the next slide, we did not have that component from a mainframe perspective. So that was a large gap. And the contention for the downstream testing systems on the mainframe side is quite high, plus, as Hayden alluded to, there are costs associated with trying to adapt some of the agile principles such as automated testing. So actually, by trying to be more automated, you actually can take on more costs, which then becomes a deterrent to getting teams becoming more agile. So we needed to address that. We also have a lot of wait states and higher costs and cycle times because of the time it takes us to find defects. If you have an environment that your development team owns and can deploy to several times a day, and you're doing continuous testing in that environment, you're finding defects very quickly in terms of when they were introduced into the system, and the developers then can be much more productive in addressing them. In a typical mainframe environment, if you're waiting weeks or even a month to deploy to a test environment and finding defects, that's going to cause a longer cycle time to come back to those developers and get them back into the mindset of what was I doing, what code was I in, how might that bug have been injected into the code. So that's another element of having this development environment that's key. And finally, I think one of the items that Hayden also referenced was this customer feedback. Having a dedicated environment that you can have the current state of the system enables what I'll call continuous feedback. And again, I'll talk about that a little in the next slide. So having the ability to show the current state at any point in time to the customer lets you get feedback much more quickly than if you don't have that and you have to wait months to get into some downstream testing environment. So if I go to the challenges to agility, agility really requires the ability to develop code in a number of short iterations within a release. And within each iteration, you're going to implement a number of user stories. And one of the keys to us becoming more productive was the ability to actually test those stories in the same iteration that they were developed. So on the distributed side, we're actually able to achieve that milestone where within a two-week interval, we could not only implement a set of stories, but also test them within that development environment. We also have unit tests that get run every time code is checked in. So every time a developer checks in the code, for example, using Eclipse-based tool, Rational Application Developer, a set of tests can run in the distributed side, and then at night, we'll run a larger set of tests, again, in this development environment. So we're pretty much assuring that anything that got broken during that day's development can be fixed the next day. So again, that ensures high quality of your software as you're developing it every day. And then at the end of those iterations, you can then start to deploy the code into the downstream environment. So again, you're getting this continuous deployment to the development environment. That's allowing higher quality code to be developed. And then as you get into those downstream environments, what we're finding is we spend less time in system test because we're entering that system test interval with less defects. Therefore, we spend less time actually testing the code and finding defects in those environments. So the next slide sort of talks about how do you get from where we are today on the mainframe side, which is more of a waterfall approach, to a much more iterative and agile approach where you're getting continual feedback on what you're producing and are able to continuously deploy your code as it's being developed and built. One of the elements that we had to take on here was not just the technical elements of the tools or the engineering practice, but there's also a cultural element of adopting lean or agile practices. One of the first things that we did with the distributed team that we then emulated with the mainframe teams was setting up a concept of cross-functional teams. These teams sit together in an open collaborative team space. We use tools such as Rational Team Concert to facilitate our iteration planning. We also use practices such as pairing, where we will take experienced developers on the mainframe side and pair them with less experienced developers, but who understand agile practices and toolings. So if you take an Eclipse-based distributed developer and put them with someone who has mainframe experience, we pair them together so we can transfer that knowledge. So the mainframe expert learns about the tools and techniques, and the younger developer is learning more about the concepts of mainframe programming and the system that they're working on. Pairing them was a key element of starting to get adoption in terms of some of these practices. That cross-functional team also consists of developers, it consists of testers, it consists of someone who can play the role of a business owner. So there's always someone who can speak for that customer, sort of the voice of the customer that's available to that team, that then can provide feedback, I'll say continuously, but very frequently as the code's being developed and deployed to that development environment. So as you're doing things such as daily stand-ups, as you're doing your two-week iteration planning, They're involved. At the end of the two-week period, you'll do a retrospective. You'll do a show and tell. That show and tell then gives that customer the opportunity to provide feedback, then can feed into the next iteration. The other thing that the retrospectives provide is they allow the team to provide input into what's working and what isn't. So as we started to apply these concepts to the mainframe teams, we were very conscious of making sure that they felt like it wasn't something that was being jammed down their throat, so to speak, but it was something that they also had feedback and they could sort of go at their own pace. So starting slowly, building momentum, and demonstrating value and allowing associates to have input into the practices and processes was key from a cultural perspective. Now, as we go into the next slide on the mainframe tooling approach, it sort of gets into some of the technical capabilities that Hayden alluded to from the RD&T product. We're currently using the full suite of modernization products, RDZ, Rational Application Analyzer, RAA, and then RD&T is sort of the third element that's providing this development environment capability to fill the gap that I talked about before. So the real key here is the ability for the team to own their environment, which means it's an independent environment. This is not something that they need to go to infrastructure to get permissions to deploy code to. This is something that they can build and deploy directly to. We use ChangeMan, and ChangeMan deploys directly into our RD&T environments. It allows for repeatable testing, so they can recreate their data, reset their data, even IPL the entire box if need be, because it's their environment and they can do whatever they need to be productive. And then it provides a fertile ground for automated testing. So RD&T is the heart of providing this development environment that's going to allow teams on the mainframe side to become more productive and produce higher quality code. Now, our approach was not to start off with a focus on cost, but to start off with a focus on the fact that higher productivity, higher quality will then yield and decrease costs. That's what we saw on the distributed side, and that's what we believe we will see on the mainframe side. One of the other keys I talk about is sort of an inside-out and an outside-in approach. From an inside-out approach, there's capabilities now through ZUnit to do things similar to what we've done with JUnit on the distributed side. Now, having said that, you're not going to go into hundreds of thousands or millions of lines of mainframe code and all of a sudden write a bunch of unit tests. What you can do is selectively determine where your code is being churned, where the most change is occurring, and put some test cases around those to enable you to essentially protect your code against changes in those areas. Those tests can then be run in a repeatable way in the RD&T environment. The outside-in approach, again, something that Hayden and Mike alluded to, is concept of virtualization. So data virtualization, service virtualization, very important in terms of being able to bring in the data and the interfaces that you need to test in the RD&T environment. This environment is not something that you're going to create another LPAR similar to what you already have from a system test perspective. It's a lighter weight environment that you deploy the code and the data and provide interfaces that you need to test the use cases, the scenarios that will give you the most payback for, you know, the value that you're going to get out of that environment. So these other tools and these other approaches start to feed off themselves. If you have Optum where you're able to subset your data and provide data masking, file manager, service virtualization, that then makes it easier to provide those capabilities in the RD&T environment. So while you still need your downstream environments, again, you're delivering higher quality and you're also reducing your wait states because this team has availability of this environment, so that increases their productivity and their quality. So finally, what are sort of our next steps? Sort of talked about some of these already. From developer testing perspective, starting introducing ZUnit to refactor key components of our code, the whole idea of the data and service virtualization, and then finally really moving towards the idea of continuous integration. So while we don't have everything automated to where we can build and deploy our code and test it the way we do on the distributed side, that's a target and a goal that we're moving to, you know, to provide a higher level of continuous integration and continuous deployment. The benefits, we believe that, again, we'll see quantifiable results similar to what we saw on the distributed side. It also creates a more positive and engaging environment for the developers. A lot of the mainframe teams felt like they weren't really been invested in the past. By implementing this technology and these practices, it shows that we're willing to invest in their growth and improve the way they work and improve their development. So that drives a desire on their part to continuously improve and also provides a continuous learning capability from them. So with that said, I'll hand it back to Hayden to finish.
Okay, Carmen. Hey, thanks a lot for sharing what Nationwide is doing around DevOps. It's very impressive, the progress you're making, and, of course, also the plans that you have going forward. So in summary, and I'll do this quickly, businesses, you know, are always needing to innovate, deliver new value, and software is increasingly an important element of how they do that. And that's why we think our vision and our solutions around DevOps can be a very key resource to the business, to the enterprise, in helping address these business challenges. And hopefully, as you've heard, for those of you that have mission-critical systems, you know, that run on System Z, we believe that our DevOps solutions represent some very unique ways to both modernize the development process in a reliable way, but also do it in a cost-effective manner as well. And now the final slide, before we open things up, there are some resources here you can see if you want to learn more. And as I mentioned at the beginning, there are going to be four additional drill-down webcasts, so hopefully you'll be able to participate in those as well. So now let's see what questions you might have. So, moderator, I turn it back over to you.